It is a bill that deals with the statutory limitation on an education service district's ability to levy its tax base. And by way of some background, in 1977, when you dramatically changed the basic school support formula, one of the decisions was to provide a substantial amount of equalization through the basic school support formula, and you eliminated the equalization function of the education service district. The old equalization function, you levied a tax rate countywide for a portion of the operating expenditures of the school districts and returned it on a per pupil basis, which moves some of the wealth around inside a county. At the time they eliminated that equalization function, they also put a statutory cap on the authority of the ESD to levy inside its tax base. In the 1977 legislature, late in the session in a conference committee, finally got resolution on this bill, and they capped the education service district's levy authority at a 6% growth per year, eliminated the ability to go to the voters to vote for any more. They could not ask for a levy in excess of that cap. However, the unused portion of the tax base that was still there and not eligible for levy, they allowed the 6% growth on that unused portion to be used for mandated special education programs that were expanded or created after July 1, 1977. In 1979, the legislature came back and the revenue committees looked at this provision and made some adjustments in it, recognizing the fact that they were capped statutorily in 1977 and could not ask for an increase. Even if the voters approved it, they couldn't have levied it, that's what the Attorney General said. They gave them a one-time 12% increase in their levy authority within that tax base, and then back to 6% for the current year. At the same time, the unused portion of the tax base in 77 was preserved by sending, and this is one of the things that Representative Simpson mentioned, sending basic school support through the county assessor, allowing the ESD to certify its total tax base, offsetting that levy before it was extended to drop it back down to the statutory cap. In 1977, they allowed that for 77 and 78. That allowed the constitutional tax base to grow, but limited the actual amount of extension of levy. In 1979, the legislature decided to terminate that paper transfer, which meant that after 3 years under that terminated paper transfer, that education service district unused tax base authority will disappear, because our Constitution says it's the highest amount lawfully levied without a vote in any one of the last 3 years in which you levied a tax. What the statute is a statutory limitation that's more strict than the constitutional tax base authority. And one of the reasons that limitation was put on there was the old check on how much of the tax base could be used for program was the resolution process and the ESD budget committee. And you could increase your levy authority into that or up to the total amount of the tax base either by ESD budget committee and budget process, or by passing resolutions approved by two-thirds of the districts representing at least or having at least 50% of the ADM in that county approving a resolution service. The 1979 legislature eliminated that pass-through, so that ESD tax base would go away in, I believe it's fiscal year 83. This bill comes to you to look at some adjustment to the statutory cap on that levy authority. As the bill was introduced, what Ozzie's put down there at the bottom as administration and operation, or what some people call the board's own budget, that is the dollar amount of levy the ESD budget committee and board decide upon for their own operations. As introduced, the bill allowed that to grow at 6% or the Portland Consumer Price Index, whichever was greater. Then it also allowed school districts through resolution process to approve any amount of the remaining tax base for resolution services. And then if there were any levy remaining, it set up a procedure for determining the amount of mandated costs from state or federal mandates for handicapped child programs, bilingual programs, or talented and gifted programs, and if there could be agreement locally through the ESD board and those districts, they could levy that without a vote. Any remaining tax base would be under that that pass-through provision to keep the base alive.
Do you want to carry this on the floor?
No. No, that's what it was as introduced. The bill that comes to you today is substantially more restrictive to that than that, and we want to talk about what's in the A engrossed version. Okay? The A engrossed version reinstitutes that transfer of basic school support so the ESD tax base will stay alive and be there in case future legislatures want to make a determination about how to use that money.
This is a continuation of what we did in 77 and 79. A 2 year extension.
It's like the 77 provision with probably with really two differences. The first difference is the administration operation budget portion in the bill that's before you is limited to a 6% growth unless 2/3 of the districts with 50% of the children in them agree to allow the ESD board zone budget to grow more than that.
And that was come out of the resolution.
Yeah. Then the resolution portion is still in effect under the basically the way it is now. By resolution, you can use those dollars for programs that are agreed to by the component school districts. The unused portion of the tax base, it would allow the 6% growth on that unused portion to be used through resolution for either talented and gifted, bilingual, or special education programs under our state law definition.
Excuse me, is this only on the administrative base?
No, this is the total tax base. Okay. That square is the total tax base.
And it applies to the total?
Yes. Well, it's in three chunks, actually. There's a 6% limitation on the administration.
In
the,
each
the
category?
Budget.
Okay.
Unless there's a resolution. There is what's remaining... the remaining part of what he's got down there is resolution grows at 6%, and that can be used for any resolution services the ESD has authority to provide. The growth on the unused portion, 6% growth on the unused portion, can be used if 2/3 of the districts with 50% of the kids in them agree to it for the three specific kinds of programs, handicapped child programs, talented and gifted, or bilingual English as a second language. Then it also says that that unused portion of the tax base cannot be reduced unless there's a vote of the people inside the ESD to approve the use of that money for the program.
Okay.
So it preserves that unused portion. It allows a little more flexibility through agreement between school districts and ESDs for some really needed programs.
Mr. Chairman, I think if you take a look at the handout that we gave you with our numbers, that it's pretty clear what Chris has been trying to say, that there's an example of a $40 million tax base on the left, 81-82. Right. 25 of it they've been restricted from using. 13.5 has been used this past year for resolutions, $1.5 million for their administration. The following year, the administration can go up 100,000, 6% on the 1.5. The resolution's budget can go up 6% on the 13.5, or about 800,000. In addition to that, 6% of the 25 million unused tax base, the growth on that unused tax base, may be added to the resolution's process for handicapped, TAG, or bilingual ESL programs. And if the districts can agree by resolutions to use that, in this case, $1.5 million for those programs, then you could levy that. And you'd wind up the following year with $25 million still unused. It freezes that amount.
Okay, other questions?
So, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Trill.
To get this dedicated fund, you're taking basically the some kind of earnings on the unused?
6% of the $25 million, the 6%. Constitutional growth on the...
I
unused.
See. The growth of the unused can go into this dedicated. Now, are you? You're not levying on that unused, right? Are you actually getting money then?
It does have an effect on
the. How does that work?
Yes, sir.
The 1.5 would actually be property tax levy money that's available for programs.
Uh-huh.
The $25 million of unused would be certified to the county assessor and then offset by basic school support dollars that actually go to the school districts in the same manner as was done in 1977.
To preserve the tax.
And there's two, you do not see that in the bill because there are two sections of law that implement that provision that were never repealed. They're still in the statute. And the authority in 3088 to do that, you got the Angros bill, is in subsection, okay, it's subsection 3 on page 2. That's the language that triggers that.
So is all of this just levying authority that you have? And you're saying then that you can't levy on the unused, but you could levy the rest of it, right?
Right.
You could levy the administration, 1.6. You could levy the resolution, if you chose to do so, and the dedicated. You could go get that money.
Yeah, if you had resolutions from the district.
Yeah, to do it, right. And you could ask the taxpayers to pay. You still can't ask the taxpayers to pay anything on the unused part.
That's right. You can submit a levy question to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a majority vote of the residents who vote on the question inside the ESD to approve that.
Oh,
the unused.
We have given authority for them to levy in the unused area.
Only if the voters approve it. You can submit it like a current excess levy election.
I see. You can ask them if you can levy.
Yes. And if they say no, you can't. If they approve it, you can't.
I see. Do many of them levy in the unused? No.
We have had two ESDs since 1979 get approval to levy part of their unused tax base. One was Clackamas County, which was a $3.1 million amount, and one was Jackson ESD, which was, I think, about $360,000, for some special education programs. There have been 15 of those issues submitted. Two have been successful. One of those districts, Clackamas, I think accounts for four of those or three of those submissions. They resubmitted several times.
Would you look for most of the ESDs to levy in that dedicated area, pick up that money?
What's happened, Mr. Chairman, is that they found it very difficult to get a countywide vote for a small client group like handicapped children to get a levy approved for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been one of the difficulties. One of the reasons we're worried about this area is, for instance, the state support reimbursement to school districts for handicapped child programs is dropping from a stated 30% to about 21%, even with the restorations.
Mm-hmm.
The federal money is becoming very hard to come by. The mandate's still there. The money is not keeping up with what they promised when they passed that statute. The subcommittee Subcommittee 3 of Ways and Means has commissioned the State Department of Education to do a task force study between now and the special session, if it's done in time, to look at regional provision of handicapped child programs. One of the very important parts of this bill to us is keeping that unused tax base alive for possible future consideration about regionalization of services and what role the intermediate unit, the Education Service District, will play in the future on providing for low-incidence, high-cost kids on a more effective basis.
Do you think this bill is in good shape that came from the House?
There's one amendment.
We've got one small amendment.
One amendment on page 2. In line 14, the Friends small b should be a Friends large b, and it's just a drafting error.
I move the amendment.
Okay, Senator Day moves the amendments. Legislative Council dated 7/28/81 to House Bill 3088A-5.
Chairman, I'll move the bill to the floor.
Is there objection? Oh, Senator
No
Hammond.
Objection to the amendment.
Okay, being no objection to that amendment, so order.
Chris, in sub 3, beginning on line 9, page 2,
mm-hmm.
says that the ESD has the authority to levy a tax for more than operational, administrative, and resolution services prepared under subsection 1. In other words, if it has the authority to levy more than that, then it shall levy more than that for the school. Now, are you not disturbed that if we have an ESD who, for whatever reason, has chosen not to levy the maximum for operational, administrative, and resolution services, does not want to levy more than that. If this bill requires him to do that?
Mr. Chairman, no, I'm not, because what that is the paper transaction levy that keeps the tax base alive. That instruction to make that levy requires the unused portion to be certified to the assessor, and then a report goes to the state superintendent of public instruction about the total dollar amount in that county that's been certified but will not be extended, and it will not be taxed. Then the basic comes back through and offsets it and pulls them back down to the statutory cap.
Mr. Chairman?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Go ahead,
Senator Troll.
I move the bill as amended.
Senator Troll moves amended House Bill 3088 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. The clerk will call the roll.
Senator Hanlon?
Aye.
Senator Jernstad?
Aye.
Senator Troll?
Aye.
Senator Day?
Aye.
Senator Powell.
Aye. Motion is adopted.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Day.
I move House Bill 2818 to the floor with a due pass.
Senator Day moves House Bill 2818 to the floor with a due pass.
That's a mass transit bill. I believe it's in good shape, and we have taken care of our problems concerning the transit districts elsewhere for the committee's information.
We held, this bill was ready to go yesterday. We held it in deference to Senator Day, who was working on another bill that we thought we might have to put into this vehicle. So, is there further discussion? None. The clerk will call the roll.
Senator Hanlon?
Aye. So no one any amendments we
Senator Jernstad?
Aye.
Senator I had Crow?
No aye.
Senator Day?
Aye.
Senator Powell?
Aye. Motion is adopted. Okay, we're back to A and B ballot. Yesterday we had adopted conceptually Senator Troll's motion to adopt the House version minus the, I guess you call it a disconnect, going to back to the other A and B system in the later elections. So it would simply combine them, combine the two amounts with a note to the taxpayers to which, or to the voters, to which amount or the amount that qualified for property tax relief. Now, there are other issues in the bill, and I want the staff to run us through those very quickly.
We just sit for Jim.
Oh, it's okay. Jim's bill?
It is. I can go right down through,
right.
Down through the list.
Okay, let's go start.
Pretty much reading the revenue impact.
Mm-hmm.
What number are we looking for?
What number?
What number?
2175.
2175?
Or no.
2175. Is it in here?
Whereabouts? It should be in, there it is.
In the work session.
Back in the room.
Okay, 2175.
From the start, Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We have settled conceptually in the committee the question of what to do with the wording of the A and B. It's now the other issues besides the separation question.
This one is quick staff summary.
Oh, quick one.
Again, we're doing these in concept, aren't we? Because we don't have the bill.
Yes, we're doing these conceptually. We get the bill tomorrow. They'll pass it this afternoon. We'll get it conceptually, get our amendments drawn, and act on it immediately.
Okay, one of the major things that this bill does, we should be aware of, is the way it handles serial levies in the second to third year of the levy. Now, if you remember, the whole concept is, say, if this is the tax base, here's your 1 year levy, you get a growth factor on that. Say your tax base goes up 6%, and then if you have a combined A, B levy, well, say that this is a serial levy. A levy is a serial levy, and the B levy is a serial levy. Come out here the next year, and your tax base goes up 6% again, say. Well, this A levy is now going to take you to something like this. Right, because it's a fixed dollar. Could be a fixed rate, but in most cases, fixed dollar. And so, in general, you're going to end up with a situation like this. Well, the question is, what happens to this little gap in here? Is it funded or isn't it? They voted, the voters voted on it as a B levy, but in fact, it now fits in part under the adjusted levy. So is it going to get funded or not? Alternatively, Same situation. Tax base, 1 year levy, 6% growth in the tax base. And they get an A here, a serial levy, and a B. Well, let's just ignore. Let's say they don't even have a B levy.
Parties agreed if we adopt.
CPI plus population. So hard on the health. And out here in the second year, they get a new tax base.
They have problems. So he wants to
like which is like this.
Another day to get that restoration.
God, can we still get them on Friday?
Oh, well, of course, yeah. That new tax base is going to be fully funded. But what about the second year of this A serial levy? It's going to fit on up on top of this. It's going to run into the other one. Is this A or is it B? That's the question. Well, in the House, the original bill just kept it the way the voters voted on it. If the voters voted on it as an A, it was an A. They didn't. If they voted on it as a B, it was a B. All throughout the life of the levy. The House changed it so that if you're going to fund what you're going to still allow them to levy all the levy, whatever they've got authorization to do, but all you're going to fund is up to the adjusted levy. So then in this case, the district will get funding on part of what was voted on as the B levy. They'll get funding on this part. But in this case down here, they won't get any funding at all on the A levy, but they'll still be able to levy. And it's just sort of a conflict in how you're going to handle it.
What are the options for solution? What you recommend?
Well, the one option is to just stick with the way the voters voted on. If they voted on it as a B, you just keep it as a B forever. If they voted on it as A, you keep it as an A forever. And in that case, that would mean that this B would sit on top up here and you'd have a little gap in there, which they could go for a one-year levy or whatever. But in this case, it would mean that the state would fund all the way up to the top up here. That's one option. The second option would be to go with the way the House did and just say, we're going to fund up to the adjusted levy, and all we're going to say on the ballot is, this thing's going to be partially funded in the first year, and we make no promises after that. The third option would be, well, there's a series of other options. One might be to force you, if you get a new tax base, to, if you had any A serial levies, to fold that into your tax base. In other words, include it and not allow you to levy the tax base. Excuse me, not allow you to levy that serial levy anymore. What other options might there be? I'm sure if I sat down and thought about it, I could probably think of some more, but those are the three basic ones that they looked at. Would be one, to just stick with the way the voters voted on it and either leave gaps or open it up, depending on your example. Two, to fund up to the adjusted levy and let the voters just vote on the first year partial funding. And third, to, in the case where you're going to lose, when an A ballot is going to become non-partially funded because of a higher tax base, which would be probably the only reason that would happen. There are some other ways it could happen, but most cases it'd be because of a higher tax base, to pull that into the tax base. And that.
The second option sounds to me like the best one, but I couldn't tell you why.
The second option is the one that the House did, right?
All right, that's in the bill.
That's in the bill now.
That's the House. This is the original bill. This is the House. And the third one folding in was one that the House looked at but rejected, I guess.
Okay.
The basic problem is what happens in the second year and third year of the serial levy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Obviously, we're considering this because somebody has a problem with the House version, right?
What? This issue?
Yeah, this issue.
No, it's so that we've gone over the bill. So we get the bill, we can act on it. So if you wanted to amend that in any way, I'd like to know it now so that we could get amendments drafted and not have to wait a day to do that.
This is an exploratory.
The bill is not yet passed.
What do you think, Mr. Chairman? Do you think we ought to stay with?
We'll probably stay with the way the House adopted it.
I think it'd be very wise if we don't have to, unless there's some clearing.
I guess from my point of view, I just want you to be sure that you know that. When some A levy turns into a B levy, that you knew that could happen.
Yeah, I think we'll want we will take testimony from people who are affected directly and we're not going to circumvent that, but I want to give us the advantage of understanding. Okay, the other...
All right, another second set of problems comes about with rate-based cereal levies.
Would that issue be affected if we were successful in convincing the House of our proposal where there would not be a structure?
That solves some of these problems. It doesn't solve all of them.
How about last one?
The one we're just talking about, you still could... it doesn't solve that problem at all. It says you could combine this into one levy. The part that you say is going to be partially state funded in the first year, still could switch around.
Okay, let's go.
That fraction will still change.
That's 4 minutes. Let's go.
Okay. On a rate-based cereal levy, the problem is you vote on a rate, and you don't know ahead of time how much that rate is going to raise. You don't know how much of that levy is going to fit inside the adjusted levy ahead of time. And
do it with a rate-based levy, right, Jeff?
Yeah.
Right. And so it's really an estimation problem ahead of time. You don't know.
We oppose that.
What the House decided to do was to say that go ahead and estimate, and you put that dollar amount that's going to fit in to the A ballot. And if that turns out to be too high, if that turns out to be too high, then we're going to cut the A funding so it fits in the first year. So if you vote on a rate-based levy and say that the rate is 50 cents, and you say that the A portion of that is going to be $1 million, and it turns out that it's really only $950,000, or that the rate, say 25 cents of that is going to raise $1 million, which will fit into your adjusted levy, and it turns out that 25 cents raises, say, $1,000,001. Then we're going to reduce the rate so that it comes down so it fits.
He's right outside.
Oh, he's right outside. Never mind.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Hammond,
Jim, that rate base been used very often. The last time I heard, it was only one or two.
Well, it was maybe four or five, but there's more are coming. I think that's fair to say. As more districts become aware of
the California system.
Yeah. I know what to do about it.
I do too, but we won't be successful.
No.
That's where the rate justifies the means.
Yeah.
If you take the simple case, when the whole thing is an A levy, just the only thing they put on was the A levy, and they said that none of it was a B, then say that the rate, the 50 cent rate that they put on there, was supposed to be just what fits in the A ballot, and it turns out that 50 cents raises too much, then what the House version says is we're going to reduce the rate. So that it only raises $1 million that they said it was going to raise. And probably one of their arguments for that was that they've only put $1 million in the budget anyway.
I suggest we leave it as the House.
That's a wise suggestion.
Okay. Jim, we're going to have to stop there and come back to this tomorrow. And how many more issues
there's probably a good... Well, these are the two major technical things that probably you should know about.
Yes.
There's probably five or six other things you should know, too.
Could we get a quick memorandum from the staff to the committee by tomorrow morning so we have a chance to reflect on that before?
I think if you
it's
just
included
go
in your
the
analysis.
Description
I'm sorry.
In the measure analysis, you'll get a pretty straightforward explanation of the important thing.
Okay. I would ask the committee at this time to turn your attention to Senate Bill 705. Do we have that in here?
705. Okay. Yeah. Was that today or Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Tomorrow's Thursday, right? And then the next day is Friday, right? And that's the day we're all going to get down and leave, right?
Is that right?
Friday, right?
Well, they're smoking a different weed than some others.
No, I'm just checking.
These things can, however, something, these being House bills, they simply require concurrence. And if, in fact, there is concurrence, then it's really a formality of a very quick vote. So what we've got left in this committee I am concerned about the volume and the size of the problems, including the formula. And I hope we can take that up tomorrow along with A and B ballot and this property tax administration bill and whatever else. And there's a couple other smaller issues. Scotty Ferris has those some amendments that she's modified that maybe it will go along with this Myrtle Point bill that I don't think there's any controversy to. So I think we can take care of those problems. Okay, Senate Bill 705 deals with farm plates and portion plates and trying to get at the abuse in those programs. Senator Smith has been working on this. There are people here from PUC, Department of Motor Vehicles, and probably some other agency that I would like to hear from after Senator Smith. But why don't we start with Senator Smith's explanation of, I guess, these amendments probably be the best way to start.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I know how burdened you are, and I deeply appreciate the opportunity to appear, even though this is not scheduled, but has been on your work session previously to this time. Mr. Chairman, the amendments that you have before you hopefully more clearly enunciate the direction of this bill, and I'll hurriedly go through them with you. On page 1, line 24...
We're getting copies, Bob. We don't have them yet.
Yeah, it won't make any sense to you unless you have the bill in front of you.
Okay, why don't you just read us that line 24, that area.